The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello, and welcome to this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman with the Virginia Voice. Our first article is from the New York Times. Discover Le Havre, where Impressionism was born. The movement was named for a seascape Monet painted in this often overlooked city, France's largest seaport. But it has a museum full of Impressionist canvases, intriguing architecture, and a new energy. By Elaine Schiolino, May 10th, 2024. As the fog of dawn lifted one morning in mid-November 1872, Claude Monet looked out the window of his hotel room in the French city of Le Havre and furiously painted his vision of its industrial harbor. He flung his brush with quick strokes and played with the water, stretching it with rays of color. In one sitting, he created Impression, Sunrise, a painting of a vivid orange sun with its reflection shimmering in the sea. In 1874, Monet, who grew up in Le Havre on the Normandy coast, included the painting in an exhibition of 30 artists' work organized in response to the Paris Salon, an annual showcase of academic art. The critic Louis Leroy denounced the exhibition of the Impressionists and mocked the title of Monet's painting. "An impression, I'm sure," he wrote. "I thought to myself, this has made an impression on me, so there must be impressions somewhere in there." This year, France is celebrating the 150th anniversary of the movement. In Paris, the Musée d'Orsay is exhibiting 130 works from and related to the 1874 exhibition and offering a one-hour immersive tour with virtual reality headsets. It is sending 178 other works to more than 30 museums throughout France. The Musée Marmottan, which owns Impression Sunrise, has agreed to lend it to the Orsay until July for its exhibition Paris 1874, Inventing Impressionism, and to the National Gallery in Washington, where the exhibition travels in September. But to discover a fresh and unexpected view of Impressionism requires a visit to Le Havre, France's most important seaport and its most underappreciated big city. Snubbed by tourists. Once there was a direct New York to Le Havre route on the French line, whose luxury cruise liners pampered rich Americans with fancy suites and fine French cuisine. Le Havre was their first point of entry into the old world. But in more recent times, cruises and tour operators preferred to take their passengers to the Normandy beaches and to charming Pointe-aux-Fleurs on the other side of the Seine estuary, rather than to gritty Le Havre. Even today, many Parisians have never visited. "It used to be that people who came from Le Havre rarely admitted it," said Edouard Philippe, the mayor of Le Havre and a former French prime minister, in an interview. "People made fun of them, a bit like how people from New Jersey got used to being made fun of because they lived on industrial land that was less beautiful than New York. That all changed. Le Havre is now in fashion." To prove his point, he picked up a coffee mug with an interesting L and H, the new emblem of Le Havre that adorns products like t-shirts and tote bags sold throughout the city. It's worth a trip to Le Havre just to visit the Musée d'Art Moderne André Malraux, which opened in 1961. With its white walls, steel frame, and floor-to-ceiling glass facade that gives a view out to the sea, the museum allows visitors to revel in the light, luminous and somber, produced by the fickle weather of Normandy. A second floor balcony that looks out over the museum's outdoor esplanade and the sea adds to the feeling of openness. There was a desire from the beginning to make the museum open to the great spectacle of the changing elements outside, said Geraldine Lefebvre, the museum's director. MUMA, as it is called, has arguably the most important collection of impressionistic paintings in France outside the Musée d'Orsay. Rouen's Musée des Beaux-Arts makes the same claim. MUMA's collection is also home to some of the world's most famous paintings from the Fauvist movement that followed. And unlike the gridlocked Orsay, MUMA is always gloriously undervisited. Go to the Orsay and then come here, said Ms. Lefebvre. We battle a little with Rouen, but in terms of the numbers of works and their quality, we are number two. Ms. Lefebvre has studied and written about Monet's Impression Sunrise. She worked for a year with Donald Olson, a Texas State University astronomer and physics professor who used topographical, meteorological, and astronomical studies to calculate the precise date and time of its creation. According to Dr. Olson, she said, Monet painted it at 7:35 a.m. on November 13, 1872. The Hotel de l'Amirauté, where Monet stayed when he painted Impression Sunrise, is long gone, replaced by a modern apartment building with a bar bistro and a gift shop on the ground floor. Ms. Lefebvre and I visited the site, and she captured the scene. It was winter. The temperature was freezing. The wind was blowing from the west. The light was just coming up from the sea. The moment the sun came up, he worked in one great burst of energy. Rebuilt after World War II. Le Havre is not an ancient city like Paris. When the French king, Francois I, created the port of Le Havre in 1517, priority was to create un havre, a harbor, that would serve as both a military site to protect France from invaders and a commercial port to open Paris to the world. The city was an afterthought. Trade exploded over time. Wealthy merchants built grand homes in the coastal town of Saint-Adresse, northwest of Le Havre. In August 1944, the British Air Force rained bombs on the city and its inhabitants. 2,000 civilians were killed, 80,000 were left homeless, and more than 80% of the city was destroyed. In the 1950s, the French architect Auguste Perret, working with a tight budget and on a deadline, oversaw Le Havre's reconstruction. A master of precast concrete, he used the cheap, plentiful material to build 150 residential blocks with identical modular frames, a rectangular grid system of streets, and wide sidewalks and boulevards. All the apartments had central heat and modern appliances. The buildings once were considered ugly. At first glance, they all look alike. Then you discover that the concrete came in different shades: creamy beige, gray, taupe, khaki, terracotta, ochre, and that the geometric columns and beams were finished with varying patterns and textures, from mottled stone to a smooth, velvety feel. My concrete is more beautiful than stone, Perret said. I work it. I chisel it. Perret's geometric architecture has aged well, and mid-century design is now chic. In 2005, Le Havre was the first example of French modern architecture to achieve UNESCO World Heritage classification, cited as a model of urban experimentation and reconstruction. Visitors can take a guided tour of a model apartment in a Perret building. Perret's St. Joseph Church, completed in 1957, 3 years after his death, soars to 350 feet and resembles a small-scale New York City skyscraper. Concrete columns rise to angled buttresses and an octagonal cupola. The steeple is lined with more than 12,000 panes of stained glass. Inside the church, Philippe Mariette, a retired architect who knew Perret, told me to look up the reflections from the colored panels that dance on the unadorned walls. No matter how many times I lift my head, I am always astonished, he said. A transformed city center. Le Havre has undergone an architectural transformation in recent years. In the center of town is Le Volcan, a partly underground complex designed by the Brazilian architect Oscar Niemeyer. It consists of a volcano-shaped theater and a smaller crater converted into a library, with quirky seating pods that are great for kids. On the waterfront is Les Bains des Docks, a swimming complex and spa with pools, hammams, jacuzzis, and solariums designed by the French architect Jean Nouvel, inspired by Roman baths. It is covered in 32 million tiny mosaic tiles. Nearby is the Docks Vauban, a mall with a cinema, restaurants, and high-end boutiques. There is one place in Le Havre that captures the city in time, the Maison Dormeur, the mansion of a family of shipowners, merchants, and now a museum, is one of the city's only surviving buildings from the 18th century, with a facade sculpted in Louis XVI style. Wedged between tall buildings on the quay facing the port, where fishing boats and ferries are moored, it is designed like a tower around an octagonal light shaft and skylight, with rooms on five levels, including the ground floor, where a warehouse and stables were located. The house contains living quarters, a study, portraits, cabinets of curiosities, a library, a map room, and a kitchen, all evoking the daily life of the bourgeoisie. A garden where Monet painted. In the summer of 1867, while visiting his aunt in Saint-Adresse, Monet painted Garden at Saint-Adresse, which now hangs in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. People know Saint-Adresse because of the painting, said François Rosset, a longtime resident who was president of its Heritage Association. It's a formidable vehicle for our town. Years ago, Saint-Adresse refused to give up its independent status and become part of Le Havre. But a 3-mile pedestrian and biking trail along the waterfront connects the town and the center of Le Havre. Part of the town was destroyed during the bombings, but many of the old estates on the outskirts were untouched. Monet's aunt's house, which is privately owned, stays empty for much of the year. The main gate to the garden entrance was open on the day I visited. An employee on the grounds let me in for a peek at the site, with its red brick house with white shutters. Hubert de Jean de la Bâtie, the mayor of Saint-Adresse, has dreams of buying and renovating the house and transforming the area into a tourist attraction. Maybe I can't do as well as Giverny, he said in an interview, referring to the house where Monet lived for 43 years. But Monet spent his childhood in Le Havre, and maybe we can do a second center for Monet tourism here. We just have to make the project sexy. That was Discover Le Havre, Where Impressionism Was Born, by Elaine Sciolino, May 10th, 2024. Our next article is from WanderlustMagazine.com. 5 locations in France that inspired famous Impressionists. Venturing beyond Paris, renowned painters such as Monet, Sisley, and Gough found inspiration in some of France's hidden corners. By Katya Kaskel, April 14, 2024. Auvers-sur-Oise. After spending a year in the St. Paul Asylum in Provence, Van Gogh discharged himself and moved to Auvers-sur-Oise, a small village just 30 kilometers from Paris. His brother, Theo, arranged for Dr. Paul Gachet to look after him, and Van Gogh's painting of the physician is still one of his most revered. The doctor's house has been preserved, with his pharmaceutical bottles and jars left on display. You can even see the red table that featured in his portrait. Van Gogh sadly took his own life during the brief time that he lived here, just 70 days after arriving. Yet during this period, he painted 78 canvases. A marked trail winds its way through the streets, highlighting some of the sites featured in works, such as the church at Auvers. The Auberge Ravoux, where Van Gogh lodged, has reopened as a restaurant and closely resembles the dining room where he dined. His favorite table was at the back of the room. Van Gogh's room, number 5, has remained empty and untouched since 1890 and is open to visitors. A video detailing the artist's stay in Auvers-sur-Oise plays in the neighboring attic room. 2. Barbizon. Just an hour south of Paris, on the edge of the scenic forest of Fontainebleau, there was once known as one of the greatest hunting grounds in Europe, lies the genteel town of Barbizon. Today, the cobbled streets are lined with chic galleries and upmarket restaurants. But back in the mid-19th century, this little village was home to one of the most important artistic centers in Europe, the Barbizon School of Painters. Initially led by Jean-Baptiste Camille Corot, was established here. These were the first landscape artists in France to discover the joys of painting outdoors, an activity that would later come to define the work of the Impressionists. Its artists would eat, drink, and make merry in the Grand Inn, an auberge in the heart of town that has been transformed into a museum, showcasing works by the Barbizon School. Most fascinating are the original drawings and scribblings left on the walls, which are well worth scrutinizing. Nearby, the former studio of Barbizon painter Jean-François Millet is also now a museum, filled with his paintings, sketches, and his easel. Deauville and Trouville-sur-Mer. The twin seaside towns of Deauville and Trouville-sur-Mer sit side by side on the Normandy coast, separated only by the Nieuwchuck River. Nicknamed the Parisian Riviera, both have long been popular with holidaying Parisians and continue to be fashionable. The former fishing village of Trouville became one of the first seaside resort towns in France and was the place to be seen in the late 1870s. Witnessing its success, the Duc de Morny established Deauville and built grand hotels, a large casino, and a race course. Even today, it is still the glitzier of the two, and its streets are lined with Belle Epoque villas, half-timbered houses, and designer boutiques. During the heyday of the Belle Epoque era, wealthy Parisians traveled by train to these resorts and spent their days parading the boardwalks, sitting under parasols, or sea bathing. They made the perfect subject matter for the Impressionists, including Berthe Morisot, Edouard Manet, and Eugène Boudin. Claude Monet, whose work documented life on the coast, was so enamored with the Côte Fleurie area that he even spent his honeymoon in Trouville. Moret-sur-Lomb. Continue south from Barbizon, and you will hit the ancient fortified town of Moret-sur-Lomb, once a strategic outpost on the road to Paris, and now a popular weekend break from the capital. This was the final home of Alfred Sisley, one of the original artists from the first Impressionist exhibition. Sisley moved to Moret-sur-Lomb in the 1880s and spent the last years of his life painting hundreds of works of the Loing River and a series of 14 paintings of the Notre Dame of the Nativity Church. Despite this huge creative output, however, Sisley lived in poverty and never achieved the same kind of success as his contemporaries during his lifetime. The marked walking trail highlighting his favorite views is a good way to explore the town. Vallée de la Creuse. Despite being one of France's best-kept secrets, the Creuse Valley was a common haunt of the Impressionists. Located in what is now the Nouvelle Aquitaine region, it's since been nicknamed the Valley of the Painters, owing to the many artists that discovered the region. The most famous, of course, was Monet, who spent the spring of 1889 in the village of Fresnes, working on a series of paintings where the Grand Creuse and Petit Creuse converge. In Fresnes today, the Espace Monet Rollinat is a contemporary art space that highlights new artists, but also has an exhibition celebrating Monet and the poet-musician Maurice Rollinat, who also called Fresnes home. A 3-kilometer-long interpretive trail along the Creuse River invites visitors to walk in the footsteps of Monet. Make sure to visit the village of Crozon, perched above the Creuse River. Artists such as Armand Gallimin, Léon de Troyes, and Monet traveled here by train and stayed at the Hôtel Lépinat. Today, the hotel is a multimedia museum tracing the history of painting in the Creuse Valley. That was 5 locations in France that inspired famous Impressionists. April 14, 2024. Our next article is from SmithsonianMag.com. Mary Cassatt's paintings take women's labor seriously. A new exhibition challenges long-standing assumptions about the American Impressionist artistic legacy. By Ella Feldman, June 11, 2024. Historically, the subjects of Mary Cassatt's Impressionist paintings, women and children who sit in gardens, lounge in armchairs, and come together for afternoon tea, have sometimes been viewed as frivolous. For decades, writes art critic Deborah Solomon for the New York Times, Cassatt was dismissed as a paintbrush-wielding patrician unconnected to the make-it-new spirit of modern art. That perception, however, has fallen out of fashion in recent decades. The art world has slowly started to embrace the painter as a forward-thinking feminist whose work shed light on the invisible labor performed by women. That's the framing behind Mary Cassatt at Work, the first large-scale exhibition of the artist in the United States in 25 years. On view at the Philadelphia Museum of Art through September 8th, the show features over 130 artworks and rarely seen personal correspondence that illuminates her 6-decade-long career investigating the interconnections of gender, labor, and agency, per a statement from the museum. Born to a wealthy family in Pennsylvania in 1844, Cassatt lived most of her adult life in France, where she befriended Edgar Degas and became an early American member of the French Impressionist movement. Her body of work is particularly concerned with the private and social lives of women, as well as the relationships forged between mothers and children. Cassatt's life didn't exactly mirror what she depicted in her work. She never married or had children. Instead, she was devoted to her serious work as an artist, as she called it. "Oh, the dignity of work," she once wrote to collector Louisine Havemeyer, per the museum. "Give me the chance of earning my own living, 5 francs a day, and self-respect." The robust collection is intended to challenge the idea that her oeuvre focuses solely on moments of leisure. As the curators Jennifer A. Thompson and Laura Garber write in the exhibition's accompanying catalog, per the Times, it invites viewers to consider the demands that childcare, housekeeping, and hosting placed on women at the time. The exhibition also shines a light on Cassatt, encouraging museum goers to reconsider their assumptions about the artist. For example, selected letters between Cassatt and her family provide new insights into her daily life. "We were really struck by the recurring description of Cassatt's work by family members and by Cassatt herself," says Garber. The collected letters reveal a pervasive attention to her commitment to long days of artistic work. In preparation for the show, researchers analyzed some of Cassatt's paintings using X-rays and other imaging technologies. "We've never done that before, despite the richness of our holdings," Garber said. "We've done all sorts of imaging and analysis of the other Impressionists in our collection. But she has been overlooked as a woman artist, and that includes even institutionally in the way that we have attended to her works. These imaging studies show how Cassatt's creative process changed over time. At the exhibition, visitors can see examples of the artist's thoughtful, painstaking revisions to specific sections of her artworks." That was Mary Cassatt's paintings Take Women's Labor Seriously, June 11th, 2024. That's all for this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.